Let's turn together now in our Bibles for our scripture reading from Romans chapter 13. We'll also be looking at Heidelberg Catechism in just a moment, but first let's read from Romans chapter 13. As I said before, we're dealing with the fifth commandment this morning, honoring your father and your mother. And as we're going to see, this expands beyond just father and mother to acknowledging, submitting to in all things a lawful to all those authorities that God has placed over us. So let's read from Romans chapter 13. That's found on page 1127. Romans 13, the first seven verses. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is a servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. That's as far as reading in Romans 13. Then I encourage you to turn with me in your songbooks, in the back of our songbooks, to Lord's Day 39. Lord's Day 39, just one question and answer here, question and answer 104. In the back of our songbooks, that's page 891. Lord's Day 39, concerning the fifth commandment, let's respond with the answer together. Question and answer 104, what is God's will for you in the fifth commandment? That I show honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and all those in authority over me. Submit myself with proper obedience to all their good teaching and discipline, and also that I be patient with their failings. For by their hand, God wills to rule us. As far as reading in the Catechism, we pray for the blessing of our God upon the preaching of his word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it has often been said that as the family goes, so goes society. In many ways, the seed that is planted in the home matures and bears fruit in society. Many of the sins that we see in our society find their root, find their source in a rebellious heart that was never corrected, restrained, or instructed home. Children who do not learn to honor and obey in the home find it hard to do so once they enter the world. As we continue our series through the Ten Commandments, we are now moving this week from the first table of the law to the second table of the law. Having considered how we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, first and foremost, we are now looking at how we are called to love our neighbor as ourselves. Our love for fellow man is taking center stage. And as we see this morning, our love for fellow man starts in the home. Indeed, the home is where our closest neighbors are to be found. So we could put it this way, if we are summarizing this commandment, summarizing it with a word of love, it would read like this. Children, love your parents. Now that might seem strange, that might seem shocking. Of course I love my parents. What child doesn't love their parents? But how do you love? How do you love your mom and dad? Our passage is going to reveal to us, as we look at honoring, loving, and obeying, we are talking not just about mom and dad, but we are talking about all those in authority over us. So this morning we look at this theme. Jesus Christ teaches children to honor their parents in the Lord. We start in our first point, as we have every week, by looking at the foundation of this command. What is the foundation? What is the bedrock upon which this commandment is built? The principle presented to us this morning is this: authority comes from God. Romans 13, verse 1, let every person be subject to the governing authority, for there is no authority except from God. That's in the negative. The positive, all authority comes from God. There is no authority that exists that God has not instituted and ordained. Every leader that we have in our world, in the church, in our home, in our schools, these are leaders whom God has appointed. From the parent all the way to the president, each placed in their respective position by the sovereign plan and design of God. So why should we submit to those who are in authority? Why should children love and submit to their fathers and their mothers? Why should students love and submit to their teachers? Why should those in the church love and submit to their elders? Why should we as citizens in the United States love and submit and pray for our leaders in the state and in the federal government? The answer is this: we are to love and honor, obey in all things lawful, and pray for those who are in authority over us because God has put them there. We do not submit because they are bigger or stronger or older or wiser. We don't submit just because we're afraid of paying fines, of getting speeding tickets or different consequences of not paying our taxes. No, for us as Christians, the heart of the matter is this: we obey because God has set them over us. It is a part of our Christian duty and obedience arising from a heart of love and even joy. We submit to governing authorities because God is ruling over us through them. The office that they possess is a God-given office. The authority they have, God-given authority. So the issue before us this morning is the concept of limited authority and delegated authority. Limited authority means that every ruler of man is not sovereign. No person is supreme, each finding their authority from the Lord's hand. And delegated means that it comes from the Lord. Each finds their place under the rule of the supreme Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So our submission to the various levels and circles of authority is part of our spiritual service. This concept of limited and delegated authority also means that those who are in authority will be held accountable for how they exercise that authority. If laws and decrees are handed down that contradict with God's word, they will be held accountable. And we are called to submit and obey in all things lawful. If there is a law or a decree of man that contradicts with God's word, we must choose to obey God before man. And that's the clear teaching that we find in our first lesson in Acts chapter 4, and again in Acts chapter 5. When the saints were hauled off to prison and instructed, warned, don't teach, don't preach in the name of Jesus Christ, they responded by saying, this is Peter and John, you must judge whether it is better to obey men or to obey God. But as for us, we cannot help. We cannot stop preaching and teaching. Again, in Acts 5, verse 29, we must obey God rather than men. So the lesson is very clear. When man's rules or man's laws contradict with the word of God, God's law must win the day. So if we have a government, and it's becoming more and more probable as we look to the future, if we have a government that would forbid faithful preaching, if we have a government that would say you can't preach on genders and you can't use the wrong pronouns, if we have a government that forbids faithful teaching, speaking, and preaching, what say you? How do we respond? Or if you go to a school, attending a school, where the teacher forbids praying in the name of Jesus, what say you? How do you respond? You must obey God before or rather than man. And the concept of limited and delegated authority means that not only must we obey God before man, but those who are in positions of authority must be careful how they rule. This is in Romans 14, verse 12. Each will give an account to God. Romans 14, verse 12. So not only are we who are under authority, not only will we give an account to God for how we've responded to those in authority over us, those who are in authority will also have to give an account to God. The rulers of men will stand before the white throne on the last day, giving an account for every law and verdict and declaration that they made. So we recognize the concept of limited earthly authority, delegated earthly authority, and accountable earthly authority. These gifts of authority are a gift from God's hand. But as we see them as gifts from God's hand, we must see them as actions from God's hand. Therefore, submitting to them, honoring them, praying for them, and obeying them in all things lawful is a part of our Christian service. As a citizen in the kingdom that is to come, submitting to, revering, and honoring the King of Kings and Lord of Lords above all. To resist authority is to resist God's good purpose, as Romans 13, verse 2 puts it. If you resist the authority, you are resisting what God has appointed. The purpose here given in Romans 13, the purpose of authority, is twofold. It is to restrain sin and to defend the righteous. Those who have no fear of God should have a right fear of the sword of government. Romans 13, verse 3. The fear of the sword is a powerful motivator. Rulers appointed by God are a terror to bad conduct. So the first responsibility of a government is to restrain, to be used by God to restrain sin. And the second purpose is to protect those who live upright lives. Verse 4, Romans 13, verse 4. Rulers are God's servants for your good. So rulers are given by God to serve in the home, in the church, in the state, in the school, by God for your good, for your blessing, so that sin would be suppressed and the upright would be protected and defended. We may not always think of it this way, children, but one of the reasons God gives you parents is so that sin would be restrained in your heart, that you would be instructed when you do something rebellious to God. It is the parent's responsibility to say, to teach, to instruct, to discipline, hey, what you are doing is not only a rebellion against me as your parent, it's a rebellion to God. And when you do what is right, and you submit to your parents, and you honor your parents, and you obey your parents praise you and support and encourage you in your godly living. So when you honor and obey your parents, you are in fact cooperating in the pursuit of good that God has in mind for you. And that's why this commandment is unique among the commandments, because it comes with a promise. The promise affixed to this commandment is this: honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you. That's from Ephesians 6, verse 2. This commandment has a promise that it will go well with you, that it is for your good. You benefit when you submit to this commandment. The life of one who learns in the home to honor and obey and submit in the house have blessings a hundredfold throughout the rest of their life. Not only will there be less punishment, there will be more reward, more blessings, as God uses these, the authority of men, to teach, train, and instruct us to restrain sin and to protect those who live uprightly. Well, now that we understand the foundation of this commandment, we move in our second point to consider how authority is undermined today. As you may know, one of the key tenets, the key foundation cornerstones of BLM, that's Black Lives Matter, one of the key tenets of the BLM movement was the destruction of the nuclear family. They wanted to destroy the two-parent home and replace it with what is so-called community support. This is the same foundation of the communist movement. Karl Marx called for the abolition, the destruction of the family. You take kids out of the home. And even when you hear many teachers and principals in public school settings today, they speak as if the state or the school has possession of the children that trumps the responsibility of the parent. And we have to understand why this is. Why do we live in a world that is undermining, that is seeking to pull children out of the home? Because if you undermine authority, people are easier to manipulate. When the state or the school takes the place of parents, their ideology, their thinking, their framework, their worldview becomes the worldview of the child. Their minds are free for the taking. So it is we live in our present society with various movements that are attacking the rightful place of parents and authority within the home. What happens when this mentality bears fruit is that you see a generation of young people who do not know what it means to honor, respect, and obey. What do you find? You find a lawless society. Fights, riots, shooting, looting. There is no respect for authority. It's the opposite of what God wants for us, what we're called to do. Rather, you find children who despise, who hate, and disregard their parents. But this is not shocking. In fact, this does not surprise us at all. When we are students of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3, verse 2, in the last days, people will be abusive and disobedient to their parents. It's a sign of the times. Proverbs 3 defines them as this: children who mock their fathers and scorn to obey their mothers. So we see this bearing bitter fruit in our society. But it started in the home. It started with children who were not corrected, instructed, and disciplined. But before we go on thinking that this is something that happens out there, it's something which happens in our own homes as well. Children, do you know how you break this commandment? Kids, how do you dishonor your father and mother? Well, one of the ways that you dishonor your father and mother is when you tell stories to your friends unflattering or untrue stories about your parents. You make fun of your parents, ridicule your parents. It's a clear violation of this commandment. Children, another way that you break this commandment is by talking back to your parents, arguing with your parents, complaining, or even mocking your parents. An example of this is found in Scripture, Genesis chapter 9. In Genesis chapter 9, we have Ham, who comes upon his drunk, naked father and ridicules him. He mocks him, and he goes and tells his brothers as well, and is therefore cursed. But this applies not only to fathers and mothers, it applies to all those in authority, even if you are no longer a child in the home. How do you speak to and about those in authority? Perhaps you have a very difficult boss at work. Or perhaps you vehemently disagree with your elected officials. How do you speak, just one example, how do you speak about President Biden? I know we disagree with him, but how common, how easy isn't it to mock him, ridicule him, to slander him and his... He is our God-given president. This commandment says, I will not slander, abuse, mock, ridicule. We can disagree with the policies, absolutely. But how does this commandment apply to us? It's very difficult to respect, to honor those in authority when we disagree with them. But that's what we are called to do. For a positive example, we need not look any further than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's Daniel chapter 3. These three friends received a commandment from Nebuchadnezzar. They were to not bow down to the Lord God, only bow down to the golden image. These righteous friends refused, but in the way they refused, they still honored Nebuchadnezzar. They said it like this. O King Nebuchadnezzar, know this. We will not bow down to your idol, come what may. We'll honor you as king in all things lawful, but we will not transgress the commandment of our Lord. So we in all in various ways have failed to honor and obey as we ought. We can give thanks and praise God for forgiveness of sins and grace through Jesus Christ, because we are all commandment breakers. When we were kids, every one of us here dishonored our fathers and our mothers. We didn't obey cheerfully as we ought. And even now, with our officials that God has placed over us, we do not treat them in a way that honors the Lord. So we give thanks for the forgiveness of sins. We confess our sins, and we pray that the Spirit would cause us to grow in holiness and obedience. So that brings us to our last point, the positive expression of this commandment. As God's people, we are committed to honoring and obeying all those whom God has placed in authority over us. Romans 13, I read this earlier, be subject to governing authorities. 1 Peter 2 echoes this. 1 Peter 2, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, for this is the will of God. What is God's will for you? God's will for you is that you would be subject, submissive, to every human institution. What starts in the home never stays in the home. As I said before, one of the ways that we as God's people can shine the brightest in our society, and even if I could dare say in our conservative republic circles, Republicans, right? How do we speak about our elected officials? One of the ways that we can shine the brightest as Christians starts in the home. Children, how do you speak to and about your parents? That's so radically different than what you find in the world. And in the workplace, and church, where parents continue to be honored and obeyed, and even when our parents are aged, still called to honor them. That's totally foreign in our world. And as I said before, reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is something that our children must be taught. Parents, you have to teach your children to honor and obey you. It doesn't come naturally. It is contrary to our sinful nature. What do you mean I have to listen to you and not do what I want? But by God's grace, through His Spirit, He uses Christian parents to teach their children so that children come to see the wisdom and the benefit of honoring and obeying. The parts of this commandment include, as our catechism says, keeping this commandment means honoring, loving, being loyal to, obeying, being patient with their failings, and even praying for them. Think back to myself. Did I ever pray for my parents? What child prays for their parents? I mean, my parents need to be patient with me, but I have to be patient with them? That's what this commandment is saying. And it applies to the various circles, various aspects of authority. This authority is seen starting in the home, but it applies to the school, to the church, to the state, to the workplace. In all these ways, acknowledging God-given authority as a gift from His hand. Although each person in their position has their own sin and failures, each person is imperfect and makes mistakes, they are to be respected for the sake of their God-given office. To prove this point, Jesus Himself is given as a perfect example. Jesus Christ, without sin, submitted to His earthly parents. You know the passage well, Luke 2, verse 51. Jesus was submissive to His father and mother. This carried on all the way to the end of Jesus' earthly life. As He hung on the cross, still honored His mother and found a place for her to be protected and provided for. As Romans 13, verse 7 concludes, give to each what they are owed. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed. As we close, honor, obedience, and respect are virtues that are in short supply in our society. On the flip side, disobedience, pride, and rebellion, those are praised, and they are marks of our society. But as God's people, we are called to be set apart, be different, be distinct. Honor, submit, and obey in all things lawful. All authority comes from God and will be held accountable to Him. In this way, we acknowledge Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now our divine King comes to us and He says, come, take, and eat. Come to my table, be fed. Submit to this commandment and be nourished. Be blessed. Praise God that our obedience to His commandments leads to a life of blessing and our eternal good. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Jesus Christ and for His commandments, the commandment of love and honor and submission. And we now submit to the highest authority, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, coming to the table as welcome guests to partake of heavenly food and drink for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.